Hello and welcome back to the first episode of the new season of FPL Seb, season 24-25 now. And there are new changes in player prices being released every second at the moment. So I'm just going to go through as much as I know in this podcast. And I think we can go straight in. So I'm going to start by talking about the players that we know so far. I think there might be, I don't know, maybe one more. I don't know who it would be though. But the premium players, so I class that as 9 million plus. So the players that we've got at the moment that are 9 million plus, I can read them out. So it's the big one first, Erling Haaland at 15 million. We'll get on to him later. Mo Salah still at 12.5. Cole Palmer with the biggest price-wise ever, up to 10.5. Bukayo Saka at 10. Kevin De Bruyne at 9.5, along with his teammate Phil Foden. And Ollie Watkins at 9 million on the dot. So, let's start low and go higher, starting with Ollie Watkins. So, with Watkins, he had an amazing season last year. With Douglas Luiz now off to Juventus, I think he'll probably be on penalties as well. So he's a fantastic option at 9 million. Because he got so many points over last season in total. I'm not sure if I'm able to find his total, but it was one of the highest. Let me see. Yeah, 228. By far the highest scoring forward. Haaland was the only one at all close. He was still over 10 points away from him, and then those two are the only people who got more than 200 out of the forwards. Next is Solanke, less than 180. So Watkins, fantastic season last year, scoring more points than the 15 million Haaland. So I think he could be a very good player this season because of his price and probably taking penalties as well, which increases to his points tally, especially if Aston Villa play similarly to how they played last season, because that gave Watkins lots of chances and it was just working very well for him in general. So I think he'll probably be one of my forwards in my starting team at the start of the season. But there have been a lot of good value forwards released so far. I'm just looking at last season, 23-24, and Palmer at 6 million with a massive price rise. That is, just doesn't seem right. Now he's 10.5. But anyway, so with Watkins, very good pick, I think. Priced under what he should be, I think, but I think they decided his price probably before he probably was taking penalties, because I do think if you look at the Villa team, there's not really anyone else who's going to be taking penalties. Diaby, not really. Yeah, it's going to be Watkins, really. I don't know if they've been in any shootouts, but I'm pretty sure. So I think we can go up to the next highest rated player, which is two players at 9.5, two Man City players, Foden and De Bruyne. Now, I think those are very well priced there, because Foden's just at 0.5 less than Saka, because they are very similar players with a very similar points return. If you look at their total points over last season, they were Foden scored 4 more points, which, I mean, that's just a goal, isn't it? Less than a goal for a midfielder, isn't it? So that should... and then the reason why I think it's fair that Foden's that 0.5 less is because of the penalties. Because penalties play a big part. And the fact that Foden scored more points than Saka last season without penalties is very impressive. And the fact that Watkins scored the most points of a forward last season without penalties is extremely impressive. Foden, very well priced. And then if we go on to De Bruyne, I think this is actually well priced, because he's always been a very premium pick, and we know what he can do. But last season, he was injured for like 50% of it, and he still nearly got 100 points over the season. I think he was 10.5 last season, so a million drop feels right because he was injured over last season, and he wasn't, I mean, he was playing well for the rest of the season, but just wasn't the De Bruyne that was scoring 4 goals against Wolves like the season before. So I think that those two are very fairly priced, and I think I'd probably have Foden in my team to start with, maybe. But we'll see. So then up from the 9.5 mark, we go on to the 10 mark, which is Bukayo Saka. I've already talked a bit about him, saying that penalties benefit him a lot, so that's there. And he was the third highest scoring midfielder last season, and third highest scoring player. Or did Watkins get more than him? Sorry, if you give me a second. Why am I in forwards now? I want all players. Yep, so that's Watkins got 228 and Saka got 226, so fourth highest scoring. Which I think is fair, and I have actually forgotten another player at 10 million, which I'll get into later. It isn't just Saka. And the thing is with Saka, though, as he's 10 million, Odegaard, he was the highest scoring player last season. With the new prices, he isn't a premium because he hasn't gone up at all. He is still 8.5, which I think is a very fair price for him, and I think it was a very good price for him last season. So Saka was at the same price, and as we wanted loads of Arsenal defenders, the one midfielder we wanted would have been Saka because he scored the more points. But now that he's a lot higher this season at 10 million, it's 2.5 million higher than Odegaard, who only in the end last season was about 430, 40-ish points behind. And I think that 2.5 million, if you spread it about, you can get more points out of that. So for the start of the season, I might start with Odegaard instead of Saka. But we'll just see how pre-season goes out. I mean, if Odegaard's like taking penalties, definitely. Yeah, I know this is about premiums, but I feel like as it's Odegaard and Saka, he needs to be talked about as well. So, yeah, Saka reasonably priced, but I don't think it's going to be that popular pick with Odegaard being even better priced. Right. So I did say that this was only 10 million with Saka, but while I was talking, I think just today, a few minutes ago, it was Son Heung-min that has been released at 10 million as well. So I think it all depends on what Son we're getting. If we're getting the golden boot winner Son, who scores all the goals, I think this is very good. But then in the other hand, if it's Richarlison playing striker and he's just playing on the wing, I think you should get Richarlison instead, although Son is still a very good pick. So, no change from last season, and I think it was well priced at last season and they were right to leave it because last season he was getting quite regular returns with a big haul in there sometimes, like 17s and 18s. So I think not being a top priced premium, like really expensive, for Son and sticking where he was last season was right. So I think that was a good pick. But for the start of the season, there are so many good players and premiums. And, Spurs' fixtures. Let's see what Spurs' fixtures are. So, they have, let me see quickly, Spurs. So, they have Leicester first, which is an extremely good fixture. So, they have Leicester first. Then they have Everton. So, this is looking good so far. And then Newcastle, which is, I mean, not the easiest, but pretty good fixture. And then Arsenal, which is the London derby. I mean, Harry Kane loves scoring in that, but he isn't there anymore. So, yeah, don't talk about Kane this season, do we? First time. Well, I mean, I wasn't doing these podcasts at the start of last season, but like first start of a season in like ages since I started playing that we don't have Kane. Because the game launched before he moved to Bayern. So then it's the London Derby, and I think Son is quite a big game player, and then it's Brentford and Man United. So I mean, pretty good fixtures, because then it's Brighton afterwards, and yeah, so for fixtures, I think Son could be quite a popular pick, but then 10 million is, I mean, I might have him at the start of the season, but I haven't completely decided yet. So then going one step up into 10.5 was the highest scoring player of last season in Cole Palmer, who did score that goal in the Euros final, but it didn't come home in the end. Cucurella assisted. Who was it who scored? I didn't even want to know. They didn't win. So. But Palmer still scored. Still the highest scoring player of last season with playing for Chelsea for not much. Well, for not for the first like three games. But the thing with Palmer, his points last season was so reliant on penalties. If you took out all his penalties, let's say Nkunku's the new penalty taker at Chelsea with the new manager, his points are just going to decrease so much. And if Chelsea just don't win as many penalties, because that was so many and too many they were earning last season, his point output just isn't going to be the same. And he's 10.5 million. He's not that 5 million budget player that he was last season. And then his fixtures, it starts off with City. But then to be fair, it gets good. It's then Wolves, and then it's Palace. And then it's Bournemouth, and then it's West Ham, and then it's Brighton. This is so then, and then Forest. This is, I mean, then it's Liverpool, and it gets hard, but that's in October. We're in July still at the moment. So Palmer's going to be an interesting one because if Chelsea get that same amount of penalties, and he's on penalties, and he's still really reliant on penalties, the fixtures are good enough. But then his price makes it harder. So that's going to be a 50-50 one. I can't decide whether I'll have him at the start of the season or not. Right, moving on then to, I think it's a 12.5 million mark. Next, who is Mo Salah? I'm just checking if there is nobody, like 12 million priced or something. No, 12.5 next in Mohamed Salah. Now that's a bit high, isn't it? He had a bad season for him last season for Salah standards. I mean, he scored less points than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players for the second highest player starting price in the game. I think he ended that as well. Yeah, but he ended. What was his starting price last season? Let me see. What was Salah's starting price last season? So, with him, I think as his season was so bad last season, well, for Salah standards, it wasn't bad, but I think it's just not worth it, especially with the money you're going to be thinly spreading around your team. It's going to be quite hard to get him in. And then his fixtures are like okay. So I'll read them out. They are, so starts with Ipswich, which is literally the best fixture you can get. They were in League One 2 seasons ago. Then it's Brentford, so yeah, it's pretty good. Then Man United, Forest, so yeah, this is good fixtures. Bournemouth, Wolves, actually, this is a lot better than I remember. Palace, this is like Chelsea, that's not the best, and then Arsenal. That's a lot better than I remember it being. Yeah, so I've also just checked, and Salah's price, he had a good price for it over that season, this just gone season, and he started at 12.5 and he's up to 13.4. I can't remember why that was, but must have been like injured or something or something. Oh no, AFCON, yeah. So with Salah, I think he's just too expensive. I know he had AFCON for a few weeks and then his massive injury, but 12.5, that's the second highest in the game for not many big returns. I'm not convinced, so I'm gonna be staying away from him. But I'm sure there'd be I'm sure he'll be about 20% owned or something, maybe less. Maybe I'm going low, way too high there, but so yeah. I think we can finish Salah there and go on to the big more than 14 million, more than 14.5 million, 15 million Erling Haaland. That's not even 0.5 million more than the highest ever. It's a whole million more. He was joint highest ever last season with Van Persie and Ronaldo and Henry. And now he's 15. I mean, thing with Haaland, he's had a break without playing in the Euros. Most other players haven't. He's had that break. He's been practicing, training, getting ready for the season. He's all ready. And I think he's had that second season where he's just had all the pressure of his first season and he's ready to get big again. So with Haaland, I think either completely leave him, just leave him because the 15 million's too much. Fair enough. I might decide to do that. Or I think you should save your transfers, because as we'll get on to later, you can now save up to 5 transfers. But save your transfers and have like a transfer to use every week, like a transfer, and then you just swap Haaland out. You look at the fixtures, so like when he's playing Ipswich, you have him in. When he's playing Liverpool, you don't have him. When he's playing Man United, you have him, but you don't captain him. So, or maybe captain him against Man United because he likes playing them. Maybe when he's playing Newcastle and Palmer's playing Ipswich, you captain Palmer instead. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but like, you know what I mean. So, Palm, Sa not Palmer, not Salah, Haaland. Interesting. I probably won't start with him because of his price. I think I can build a more balanced team by going for like Mateta, Watkins and João Pedro or something. I don't know yet. I haven't really like made a draft. I'm kind of waiting for the game to properly launch to make a first draft, which I will do another podcast about like drafts later on. I'll do a few before the season starts, before we get back into the hopefully just every week if they it works out well enough. So yeah, I probably won't start with Haaland, but I might jump on him sometimes and jump off him as we can now use 5 transfers. Right, now that was a very, 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 very long section, but it was basically the main thing about the price reveals. You've got a few more sections about them coming up, and then there's also been a few changes to the game as well. But that can end that section, and yep, on to the next. Right, now this next section, now we have the price reveals, is about all the budget enablers. So you always need them in your team every season, and they're just really the players that you have in your team to just free up space. And I really think there's a big opportunity in defence this year, because there are not really many players above like 5 million defenders. So, I mean, there are the premium ones, the like Arsenal defenders, the Trent Alexander-Arnold, the Kieran Trippier, the Guardiola. But I think if you just have one of them, and then you have four others. For example, let's see, examples. Branthwaite, he was excellent last season. What other players were really, really good last season in defence, but probably aren't priced that high this season? Let's look at the top scorers. I know the top three are Arsenal, but you go a bit down. There's Porro. I think he was a bit more expensive. Let's see. Where is Pedro? Porro. Yeah, 5.5. Get him on it. Get on him early. And then I said Branthwaite is there. And then Walker. I don't think he's that expensive. Well, has his price even been revealed yet? I don't even know. But then if you look at it, there's. So, I mean, you could get on a. So then, for the Arsenal defenders, I think Ben White's been launched at 6.5. Even that's not that expensive. Or is it 6? Have we even got his price yet? 6.5, yep. I remember seeing a notification come through saying Ben White 6.5. Just couldn't find it. Anyway, yeah, Ben White 6.5, which isn't actually that bad. He ended last season at 6, so yeah. I think what you should do with defence is one Arsenal defender, one like Guardiola, and then you can have Branthwaite. Is Reece James? He's always injured though. I don't want to gamble on him, really, do you? Pedro Porro, maybe. And then midfielders. Some players that I really liked the look of. Although this is really, I'm talking more about another section later on, about the best value, but we're talking about the budget players that you need just a few of in your team. So I think, yeah, defence, you can, there's not, you get the standouts, get Branthwaite only at 5 million. Absolute steal. Especially if Pickford plays the way he did. And then you, I mean, there's not even that many 4 millions. So I think that you should get a few, so a few premium defenders and mainly budgety ones. I mean, I think Branthwaite, I keep going back to Branthwaite. So Arsenal haven't, there's only one Arsenal defender's price been launched so far. And I mean, no, two. Timber as well. He's 5.5. If he starts, that's an option as well. For a budget Arsenal defender, because for an Arsenal defender, that probably is budget. And then, do we have Newcastle defenders? Were really good 2 seasons ago, but they weren't that good this season. So, I mean, I think you could probably get Burn as well because he's good. Robinson from Fulham is pretty good as well. So defenders and then midfielders. Why did I say midfielders? Garnacho 6.5 looks pretty good, and I think you can go for some of the like newly promoted clubs, like Southampton. They're pretty good. So like Lallana is Lallana, I think. Yeah, I can't pronounce some names. 5 million, he looks pretty good to be a bench player. And then Harvey Barnes at 6.5 also looks good from Newcastle. Arsenal, Declan Rice is only 6.5, which I mean, got a lot, quite a few points last season, and 6 million maybe for Gabriel. and Saliba, and White was just that bit more. I mean, then there's sorry. Then there's like Man City midfielders with Foden and De Bruyne. But then you could also go for Bernardo Silva, who is also probably not that Pep Roulette. He's not that affected by Pep Roulette. Probably is one of the most ones, but not that much. And also, if Jamie Vardy is still playing for Leicester, I mean, no, he is still playing for Leicester, but if he is still their main striker, he would be a good option as well at 5.5. Let's see, is Jamie Vardy Leicester's main striker? Striker. I think he might be. So, good budget forward there. And then there were a few more budget forwards that I really liked, wasn't there? So there was. It's not loading. Oh yeah, Antonio at 5.5, because he's been extremely good in the last few seasons. I think he's gone really under the radar. And then João Pedro at 5.5 as well. And Muniz at 6 is pretty good. And then like super budget forwards, if you can only afford, I mean, I think 5 million. It's the lowest. Oh no, it's Patson Daka there forward. He's getting old as well, to be fair. No, he won't be. See, I think 5.5 is really the lowest you can go for a forward, and there are a few good budget options down there. So, yeah, I think is there last season we had Areola, but let's see if there's any goalkeepers at 4 million that. Oh, there's literally no goalkeepers at 4 million. It's only four defenders. So far, that is. So far, we don't know the second goalie's prices yet. There's gonna be. So, that can probably end this section, and we can go on to talk about the new stuff about the game, all the changes to the game that were literally announced 2 minutes before I started recording. I wasn't going to include this part, and but I feel like I have to now. So, on to the next section. Right, so all the new changes for 24-25 season. So I'm on this article on the Premier League app. It says big changes announced in FPL for a 2024-25 season. As we count down to the launch of 2024-25 Fantasy Premier League, we are announcing new features that will change your strategies and make this season like no other. Read aloud about it here and get insights from the Scout Inf to how each change will affect FPL managers and provide new opportunities. So this is the article on the FPL website. So let's start off with this one, which personally is the one I'm second most excited about. The 5 free transfers. No, this, okay. First of all, this doesn't mean that you get to do 5 transfers every week, because then you can literally change your whole team. You can do a wild card over 2 weeks, which kind of makes a wild card useless. If that makes sense. So, yeah, basically what it means is usually if you don't do a transfer for 1 week, next week you get 2 free transfers, the next week you get 2 free transfers again and again. But now, if you don't do transfer 1 week, you get 2 the next week, 3 the next week, 4 the next week, 5 the next week, 5 the next week, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, on and on. So basically, you can now roll up to 5 free transfers. So I'll Read it on the article here. There is a whole other page on it. So it says 5 free transfers. Up until now, you've only been able to bank 2 free transfers. Well, if you want to be patient and plan ahead, you can now accumulate up to 5 free transfers. On top of that, when you play the wild card and free hit chips, your saved transfers will no longer reset to 0. So you can now save 5 free transfers, then play any of your chips and immediately have 5 free transfers to use in the following game weeks. You've always been able to keep 2 free transfers when playing the bench, boost or triple captain chips. So there's no real change there, except that you can bank the extra free 3 transfers as well. Sorry, I can't say free. They sound very similar. Don't know if they all even pick up on the difference on the microphone. But anyway, that's the first one of the big changes. If I'll go on to here, it says how to capitalize on having 5 free transfers in fantasy. So it's saying like you can do a mini wild card. So being able to save more than 2 free transfers give FPL managers the potential to overhaul their squads on a more regular basis. Everyone has 2 wild cards, which is unlimited transfers and can be made in each half of the season. But having the potential to save up to 5 gives managers the chance for a mini wild card. You get 1 free transfer per game week, and if you don't use it, you get it for the next game week. You could not make any transfers for the first 5 game weeks of the season, and in game week 6 you could basically do a wild card, depending on the changes you want to do. Which, I mean, there's going to be a few managers that want to do that, but I think I might, I don't know. But then if you only made 1 transfer in game week 6, you'll still have 5 in game week 7, for example. So it says that this gives fantasy managers the power to attack smaller blocks of fixtures, knowing they have the ability to make more widespread changes and as an escape route. And they've got an example here, which is actually quite useful. Brighton could be targeted for game week 1 to 5. They only have 1 match with an FDR higher than 3. But then in game week 4 to 6, they have tricky looking fixtures, so then you want to get rid of them. Yeah, so then 6 to 11, the tricky fixtures means that you would want them out, so then you could roll transfers over for like a load of game weeks, transfer loads of Brighton players out, and then you could get them out, and then yeah. So that's the first new change. The second one is the one I'm most excited about, the new chip, and I'm really annoyed we literally don't get told anything about it. It just says here, there's a new chip this season called the Mystery Chip. What will it do? You have to wait and see. Brilliant. I want to know actually what it does. It says we have to wait until January as well. Can't it just be at least the start of the season? So, I mean, I'm excited about it, but it's really annoying. It's called the Mystery Chip. We've been given a picture, which I can't show on a podcast, of what it will look like alongside other chips. So there's a few possible scenarios for what it could be. People are saying that it could be the all-out attack chip. I didn't play this the game in 2017, so I don't remember this. I'm just reading this. Which could be a 2-5-3 formation, which means only 2 defenders, just so you get loads of attackers. What I think is more likely for it to be is like one of the FPL challenges we've had. So, you know, maybe I can't think of one. That just, because a lot of them were related to the game week, like final day. That one looked. Yeah, maybe it could be that. Players receive 2 points per shot, that challenge game week 36 is. That would be funny. If you were forced to use it, was the sportsmanship one, with red cards are worth -8 and yellow cards worth -5, that challenge. That'd be funny. And you were forced to use it, like, you were given a point deduct. You were f literally was in playing game week 38 if you hadn't used it. That'd actually be funny. And then why is it called? I am really confused about this. Why is it called Mystery Chip? Is it because it's just still a mystery? Are they gonna like give it an actual name when it comes out? Maybe it's like forward focus, where forwards get double points. And then the very first challenge in 30. Maybe it's unlimited budget. So maybe it's a free hit with unlimited budget. That would actually be good. That would be good. That was in the Euros fantasy as well. That was a limitless chip, I think. It was very similar at least. So yeah, there's ideas about it, what it could be, but I'm really annoyed that they're just not, they can't just tell us what it is. And why are they calling it Mystery Chip? Is it actually going to be called Mystery Chip, or is it just a mystery what the chip is at the moment? Yeah, so that's the as much as I can say. I don't know anything else. That's all that is known about the chip. There's a change to the pitch design. Oh, wait, there's changes to point scoring. Each goal scored by a goalkeeper is being increased from 6 to 10. Oh, so if like you have Alisson and he scores that late goal again, it'll be 10 points, so that'll be like a massive. Saving a penalty, this is bonus points now, 15 to 9 bonus points. Goalkeepers and defenders conceding a goal, -4. Goal line clearance, 3. Foul, 1 bonus point. Shot on target, 2 bonus points. The schedule for the FA Cup is going to be different as well, which means fewer clashes, and it just says lots of new features coming in FPL Challenge, which will be revealed next week. So I'll probably do another podcast then, talk about some. Hopefully the game's launched by then. Maybe that's when the game is going to be launched. I'll do another podcast when the game's launched. I've got us a draft together. Talk about the new FPL Challenge stuff. So yeah, maybe I'll do a separate podcast for FPL Challenge, because some people are just not interested in that. Anyway, so that's the changes to the game, and final section now. It's actually been quite a long podcast. Not one, I mean, average time, I guess. So on to the final section, which is about the best Valorant you players. So on we go. Right, finally, I'm going to talk about the players that have just caught my eye of being really good value with the price reveals we have so far. So I'm going to start off with Jean Philippe Mateta, who I don't know if you know, but last season I think I had him for 2 game weeks and 220 plus point hauls. So I look at my points. So yeah, I had him for the final game week where he got 20 points, and I had him in my free hit, I think. Yep, my free hit where he got 29 points. So him at 7.5 feels really, really, really good value, because he is a good player indeed. And he can get lots of points. So like big returns. So I feel like he's like one of the biggest, best value. I'm just the best value players. Another player is Ollie Watkins. I've already talked about him, but 9 million, just especially as he's probably likely, very, very, very likely going to have penalties now, just feels too good value. And then O Odegaard as well, because he's not that. He's 1.5 actually, sorry, 1.5 million, less than Saka, and not 1.5 million less quality than Saka, so him as well. Who else was it? Guardiola was fair priced. I think if he plays similarly to last season, I definitely think he will be one of my players. And then sorry, who was it? There was the player, I've forgotten his name. That he was like really stood out to me as really good value. I was watching the price reviews come in and I was just like, oh, that's pretty good value. And oh yeah, it's Cunha, he 6.5. He was okay last season, and just feels good value. Eze at 7 million as well sounds good. And Maatsen, the new Villa, used to be Dortmund, Maatsen, very good as well. I think 5.5. Oh no, just 5. Defender. I should have put that in my best route budget players as well. Yeah, Maatsen. Yeah, there's a lot of good players. I really like how they've priced players this season, because they just put those players that were everyone owned last season, like Palmer and Haaland, who probably shouldn't be so high, just that bit higher, meaning it makes it a really hard decision. And I like that. I like it. It makes it harder and give the players, the managers that are more engaged in the game, a better chance. But then the price transfer thing gives the players, managers that are less engaged, a good chance. So this is going to be an interesting season with all of this. And I think this can probably round up the podcast. So thank you for listening for to this first episode of this season of the FPL said podcasts. The game hasn't launched yet, so there is no mini league, but no one joined last year, so make sure you join when the game launches. And bye.